Y'all ready for this?
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. 18-year-old Diggy Lissard's senior project at Woodstock Day School is entitled Modern Vaudeville. It will tell the story of James Hurst's The Scarlet Ibis through music, dance, and comedy in a one-night-only variety show at BSP Lounge in Kingston, New York on May 22nd. Diggy's project was to schedule, promote, and produce the show, which will benefit Woodstock Day School's music programs. Joe Donahue interviewed Diggy and his dad, Stefan Lissard, from Dave Matthews Band earlier this week. That interview is online at wamc.org/roundtable. Another of the participating acts is comedian Bobby Tisdale. Tisdale is a film and television actor and provides the voice for Zeke on Bob's Burgers on Fox.
I got a genie in a bottle. Hey, if I rub you, will you give me a wish?
Ow! Bobby Tisdale, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
The matter at hand, the event you're doing in Kingston, is called Modern Vaudeville, and it is a variety show retelling of The Scarlet Ibis. How does your stand-up relate to The Scarlet Ibis?
You know, I don't know. Right? I gotta figure something out quickly. But I can just throw an example here and there, you know, on the fly. I usually do everything on the fly, so
okay,
it's more real and exciting. I don't know. I seriously need to figure out what I'm doing.
I imagine that it's, it only needs to be loosely. Like, they're not really counting on you to do, like, a parable.
I would hope not, because that would be embarrassing, which could be funny. Maybe that would be better.
So how did you get involved in the event?
Diggy contacted me. God, I forgot how that happened. I don't know. He just emailed me one day, and it sounded fun. And I've performed at the venue, the smaller stage, and I've seen the back BSB venue, which is pretty amazing. So I thought it'd be neat just to do. Well, it'd be fun. Support the kids.
Sure.
Yeah. I've never met them, so I'm excited to.
It's pretty close to your home.
Pretty close. I'm in Mount Tremper, so it's 25 minutes away, I guess.
Does that appeal? Does that help you accept?
That's very nice.
Yeah.
That's very, very nice. But I would have done it. I would have done it even in Albany if I had to.
Well, but you did come all the way here just for this.
Exactly.
So thank you. Proves you're willing to travel.
Thank you.
How did you, and this is the kind of a terrible question for comics that they get all the time.
I hate it already.
I'm sure. But how did you start doing stand-up? How did you make this your path, your career?
Well, I think as a kid, I loved the old Jerry Lewis movies, and I thought he was the funniest person. I still think he's incredibly funny when he was younger. I mean, he was just very physical and silly, and I was always silly and physical with my friends, and I couldn't really excel in anything else except for just being a class clown and getting by in school just by being charming and funny. So I figured that was my path. So probably, I think Jerry Lewis made me want to get into comedy. Not and straight to movies. You know, and I didn't really want to do stand-up, per se, but that's the path. I think that's the quickest path is to do stand-up. And so I moved to New York in 95.
From South Carolina?
North Carolina,
sorry.
Big difference.
There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And
people get mad. People,
but
I'm a sweet Libra, so I'm not being mad right now.
Thank you. From North Carolina.
From North Carolina.
You moved to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you know that it was time for you to do that?
Well, I hate to drop names, but it's true, but I grew up with Zach Galifianakis.
We grew up
in the same, yeah, he's a pretty funny guy. But we went to church. I've known him since sixth grade, and I think he went to New York in 92, and I would visit him, and he just started, and it was fun. I just would watch him at open mics. I'm like, I've got to do this. I'm equally as funny as Zach, if not funnier, so I've got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a beard, but I'm just as funny without a beard.
Can you grow a beard?
I could grow a beard, but it'd be really weird.
And you don't need it.
It'd be like the salt and red pepper, since I have red hair.
Does Zach need the beard?
He doesn't need anything. No, he doesn't need anything now. But no, Zach, I had really funny friends, luckily, and they're all pretty darn famous now. And we all went to New York and made our way into comedy. But I think Zach probably paved the way. I'll give him that credit. But I just had funny friends. I think I wanted to either be a greenskeeper on a golf course or a comedian. And I chose the comedy route.
That sounds better. For your complexion, you'd get so sunburned if
right.
you were a greenskeeper.
No, and poison ivy? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff.
No good. You are a voice actor on Bob's Burgers.
I am.
How does that gig come around? How do you get that job?
The creator, he came to our show. Eugene Merman and I did a show called Invite Them Up for, I want to say, 6-7 years in East Village.
Right.
And the creator, Lauren Burchard, he would come to our show every once in a while, and years ago. And one of the writers, John Schrader, wrote this Southern character for me. And it kind of, they said, do you want to do it? I'm like, absolutely. I would love to do it. I didn't have to audition. I don't even think they wanted me to be that Southern. And I just did that accent. I mean, I just did like a really Southern accent.
I've had not one, not two, but three Tammy Tinnies. I'm waiting for the sugar to hit me. Here I go.
Here he goes.
It's going to happen.
It's coming.
Here he goes. Kaboom.
Nice.
I'm hyper. Officially hyper.
They didn't know if that was going to be the right call. But what else are they going to get from me? I can only do Southern.
Right.
Or what I'm doing right now, which is, I don't know, slightly twangy.
Right. Northernized.
Can you Southern. Tell any, what makes, in your ear, how do I sound Southern? Because I'm not trying to be Southern right now. Do you hear
There's
anything?
Just a little lilt.
But
yeah.
What is it?
Right. Well, like you said, I'm born and raised in New York State, not New York City, but New York State.
Right.
I would say right now, and you said right now.
Right now?
Yeah, just a little Southern.
Oh, good.
Just a little. But mostly not.
I don't think
as Southern as Zeke, certainly.
Oh, no, definitely not. I don't think I can. I really don't think I can get rid of it right
now. You don't have to.
How would I say right now?
Right now.
Right now. That was good.
Yeah, no, you can do it, but I don't think you need to.
I don't want to. Why are you making me do that?
I'm not.
Right now, you're making me do that.
No.
What are we talking about? Oh, so Zeke.
Yes.
So I got, and it was, because it was a blessing because I just finished writing for Jimmy Fallon, and I'm like, I need another job quickly. And then literally like 2 weeks after that, they called me up and been doing it ever since.
I love that show.
Me too. So great. I'm so lucky.
Do you watch it?
I do watch it. I mean, I mainly watch it when I'm on the episode.
Yeah.
But my wife said, you should watch all the episodes. I'm like, you know what? I should. I should study these other guys. No, I do watch it.
Yeah.
Not as much as I should, but I definitely watch it.
You just mentioned you were a writer on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
I was.
I think that sounds like a stressful gig, writing for a nightly comedy show.
Incredibly stressful. Because you have to write for Jimmy.
Right.
Selfishly, I really wanted to. I did some bits on his show,
right.
Like some Southern bits, of course. But I think my note was from Jimmy was like, maybe you should write more for Jimmy and not for you. So then I really had to focus. And it's hard. I mean, you have to, it's like a joke factory. But it was good for my brain.
Sure.
Like topical humor, I've never done it. And that was when Snooki, when I first, Snooki was like huge. And I was in my first table, like, you know, we're gathering around the table. And they were starting to talk about Snooki. And I was like nodding my head, like I'd really know what they're talking. I had no idea what, I thought it was like a bath product.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And that
but
I was
it's
like
the Jersey Shore.
That girl, Jersey Shore.
Yeah, yes.
Snooki.
Got
and
it.
So all day we have to write some bits about Snooki and like really, so I had to like Google like what is a Snooki? And then it was like, oh, it's a girl in Jersey Shore. So we had to do that constantly. Very topical stuff. But it was really fun. It was a good year.
And then since you're writing a lot of stuff, some of it gets on, some of it doesn't.
Right.
Do you even remember what you wrote that did make it, that didn't make it, or does it kind of, it
you
becomes
remember,
just your job and then you, it sort of goes away?
You remember what did make, what made it, yeah. Because it's pretty, not rare, but it's hard to get stuff on. So
okay.
You definitely remember. And I've got an incredible notebook worth of rejected material that I can tap into, hopefully one day, that I thought should have made the show. But no, you definitely remember what made the show. Because it was really hard to get jokes on.
Yeah, I imagine. I can't. Because there's also a lot of other great comedians in that room.
Oh yeah, we had tons of really, and you could have some really good stuff, and it might not have hit that day, that morning, but usually once you pitch it, it's done. You can't really go back and like, remember that thing about turtles?
Yeah.
Remember that turtle thing? And they're like, yeah, we rejected that. So
yeah, and
that's
you be like,
for
but
you now.
Open new
open
eyes
your,
to
yeah,
the
open
turtles.
Your heart. it was very fun, very, very hard, but very, very great for my brain. And it forced me to focus.
So you mentioned having funny friends, and you're part of a kind of generation of stand-up that I think we agree calling it alternative comedy is a misnomer, but that is what's generally accepted. That's what people say. But it seems like a fairly tight-knit community in a lot of ways. Is that true? Am I right from the outside that people like you and Zach Galifianakis, Eugene Merman, Dimitri Martin, H. John Benjamin, folks like that, Aziz, came up together and it supported each other?
Not all together. It was there are levels of the John Benjamin was a level ahead of, I mean, he came before, because he's, you know, he's almost 50 now.
Okay.
So he was, he came before, like Janine Garofalo and John Benjamin and those guys, they were ahead of us.
Okay.
And then Zach kind of graduated. It's weird, it's like high school.
Sure.
So I'm in, I guess in the scheme of things, I'm probably a junior, and then Janine and John are, and those guys are like seniors and will always be that. And Aziz is like a freshman, but very successful, you know, so because they're younger, but we were all in that alt, you know, world. But there's so many comedians now. We did Sketchfest in San Francisco. I guess I've done it the last 5 years or so. And I think there were, I want to say 500 performers, comedians. And that's crazy.
That's a lot of people.
That's just, it's just so overly saturated. And I just don't know anymore. So I'm very happy and lucky I got this gig on Bob's Burgers, because I feel like now, and knock on wood, I hope it lasts forever, because now I'm not so terribly worried about, oh, I got to put out a million things on Facebook and I'm falling behind because all these kids are coming up, UCB kids are just taking off.
Right.
But now I feel like I can just kind of ride this wave for a little while. I've got something I can kind of hold on to that's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's my voice, which is good. So now it's like I'm getting older and I'm still really attractive, but not as attractive as I was.
You look great.
Thanks. I was fishing there. But I don't know where we're going with this. I think my ADD is kicking in. I don't know what the official question was. Oh, supportive?
Yes.
I think everybody's pretty supportive. They'll say they are.
Sure.
But deep down inside, probably not. I think, you know, you're good friends you're really happy for, but then you're super jealous. I'm sure I'm super jealous of the younger generation, like the late 20s, early 30s group that are just taking off. I'm jealous because they're hungry. I'm just hungry, you know?
It seems like they have to put up with a lot, though, when they skyrocket like that. Like maybe that you wouldn't want to necessarily handle. No, or maybe you would. I wouldn't, but I'm not in a position to, so it's fine.
I'm sure they love it. I'm sure it's just a thrill. But it's harder now. I mean, there's so many people, like I said, there's so many comedians, and who rises to the top? I mean, it sounds cliche, but really the cream does rise, and the really talented people do make it. And so there still are just like a select group of, to me, in my opinion, really good alternative comedians that make me laugh. Now, a lot of people don't make me laugh. I'm sure if you and I were at a bar, you would make me laugh. I just want to say that right now.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would hope so, but I would never. I'm not a comedian.
Which is good sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, to me, a good comedian, okay, here's another thing. There are really, really funny comedians on stage, but when they get off, and I'm definitely 100% not going to name names.
Sure. No,
but,
I would never.
And I would never would.
I would never ask.
I don't know. It seems like pretty soon I'm going to start writing it down on a piece of paper and look at it. But
you don't have to tell me. It's fine.
I'm not going to. So there are really funny people on stage. When they get off stage, you're hanging out with them, and they're literally boring and not funny at all. And that happens a lot. But they study the craft. They know how to be funny on stage. So I hang out with the people that are just, they don't even have to be funny on stage. They can be comedians. But if they're funny people, and this rare, there's not a whole lot of funny people that are comedians that are not on stage. There's not that many. It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, that are just funny, always funny, and they're not performing. And those are the people I kind of gravitate towards because they make me laugh. You want to laugh. You want to hang out. But it's amazing. People really hone their craft, and they're really funny on stage, but they're total duds off.
So you split your time between Mount Tremper and Westchester?
Yes, in Rye. We just got a house in Rye. It's kind of near Greenwich, Connecticut, like the town before Connecticut.
Well, how does the split happen?
It's just now happening, so we're about to go move into the house. But my mother and father-in-law live in the same neighborhood, so we're always there.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy. I mean, it's an hour and 45-minute drive, but it's beautiful. I take the train a lot into the city. That's fun. That's kind of like a romantic, you know, on the river.
Yeah, you take Metro North?
I do the Amtrak. And
then you get to, oh, you do Amtrak.
Well, I park in Amtrak. When I go into the city from Mount Tremper, I just park it in Rhinecliff.
Okay.
And it's really cool. So that's kind of in our budget. Instead of keeping an apartment in the city,
right,
we just budget. I can take Amtrak, maybe stay in a hotel every once in a while and come back. Because, you know, with voice, you know, with Bob's Burgers, I'm not in every episode. And so it's kind of... It's not that hard, but I need to be closer to the city.
Right.
That's where I'm angling.
Do you record?
In the city.
In the city. And
right.
with the cast?
With the cast.
Or with the people in the scene, at least.
Well, it's in L.A. and New York at the same time. And we just put our little headphones on. We can hear them live. And we improvise a ton.
Yeah.
And it's really great. We're always performing with each other. And it makes it, I think that's what makes it great. Because they add a lot of my mannerisms, they kind of rework into the script. You know, I say girl a lot. Come on, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I say that all the time, and I just added it a long time ago, and they that's like one of my catchphrases is girl. I don't see. I feel nervous doing that character. I just don't. It's weird.
You don't have to do it.
I'm not going to. And you can't make me.
I don't need to talk to Zeke.
No, you don't need to. what were we talking about again?
Traveling for work.
Traveling. Love
and
it.
And you've got it worked out.
I got it worked out for now. I mean, it'd be great to have a bigger problem that I'm always having to go into the city for work. But right now, it's, you know, I go in for really bigger auditions or Bob's Burgers.
And sometimes you get to work right in the Hudson Valley and do a show in Kingston.
I know. I see where you're going full circle.
Yeah.
I like where you're going.
To wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. Bobby. I don't see a light or anything.
No. I just figure.
And you don't have a producer in here telling you to shut it down.
Nope. I just felt it out, and I think I feel good
do
about it.
Do you feel like this is a good ending?
I think so. Do you feel good? Is there something else you want to talk about?
When are we going to go to a bar and see if you make me laugh?
Soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Bobby Tisdale will perform at Diggy Lissard Presents Modern Vaudeville at BSP Lounge in Kingston, New York on Sunday, May 22nd. For more information, visit modernvaudeville.com. That link is posted, along with this interview, at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Somebody's as jealous as a bald guy in a mop factory.
I'm not jealous, Zeke. I just don't like that guy.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Calm down now. You want her back? We'll get her back.
You think so, Zeke?
I don't know, but maybe.
Whoa, you just said...
Just trust me.
Whoa.
Kinda.